Can come from the third chapter of the book of Malachi, beginning at verse 6, and it says, I, the Lord, do not change. So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. Ever since the time of your forefathers, you have turned away from my decrees and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord Almighty. But you ask, how are we to return? Will a man rob God? Yet you rob me. But you ask, how do we rob you? In tithes and offerings. You are under a curse, the whole nation of you, because you are robbing me. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. That is our text. When I graduated from the seminary almost 45 years ago, I vowed that I would never speak about money in the church, because you always heard the comment, all they want in church is money. And so I decided that I would never preach about money in the church. And I didn't do that for a number of years. And I happened to make a comment, something to that, in the presence of now the sainted pastor Elroy Trite. And he heard me make that comment and he said to me, don't you want your people to be blessed? Don't you want them to be blessed more than they can handle? I says, well, I sure do. Why wouldn't I want to do that? And he said, then you got to preach on money. And he gave me this verse. I went through the seminary. I didn't look much at Malachi. I didn't even know that verse was there. And now I found a verse that really kind of set me back. And it said something to me more than I could even imagine. When it says, and listen to some of those words again. When it says, test me. Try me out. You see, the children of God at the time, the children of Israel, they weren't following what he had asked them to do in the Old Testament, to give a tenth of their income. And he says, now try me out. Test me and see if I won't just open the floodgates. Can you imagine? Some translations say, he'll open the windows of heaven and pour down more than you can handle. I like that. Here he uses the floodgates. Have you ever seen floodgates opened? When the water is so high and it can take no more, and they open the gates before there'll be a flood and see the water rushing out. Can you imagine? That's the way he wants to pour out blessing to us. More than we can even handle. When our family first came to Abbotsford at Trinity Lutheran Church there, and I was, of course, at that time directing the Lutheran evangelistic movement and working in other ministries, and an elderly couple came to me one day and said, you can never outgive God. I've never heard a statement quite like that. And I thought, that is unique. You can't outgive God. And then they said, we've tried it. And that's right, you can't. I've tried it too. You can't outgive God. He always wants to give you more blessing in whatever way or out of ever shape or form he wants to do that. But his plan is to be able to give you blessing more than you can handle. That's why I like this verse so much. Because of what God's promise is. And he says at the beginning in verse 6, I, the Lord, do not change. He doesn't change the word that he has given us. It stood in his day and it'll stand in, it stood in Malachi's day and it'll stand in our day as well. Because our God is still the same God and he doesn't change. I want to challenge you today into something special. I would like to challenge you to give by faith. Maybe you've never heard of that term before. It's something that I tried one time and boy, I was astounded on how it worked. And then 3 years ago, when our congregation at Walnut Grove knew that we needed to build, we decided that we needed to do something. And then as we discussed it at a council meeting, they said, well, how can we build? We don't have any money. I said, well, we need to do something. Even the city has already told us we've got to at least increase our washrooms. We don't have enough washrooms for the number of people that we have here. And one of the ladies piped up and said, you don't need the city to tell us that. We know that. And one morning, Sunday morning, as I was getting ready, and just before the service started, I happened to walk by the women's washroom, and there was a whole lineup. And I said to the lady at the end, do you have a number? She said, yeah, 1,050. And I got the message again. I said, we got to do something. We even had one of our Sunday school classes throughout the winter outside with a heater, and they had to wear coats because we didn't have enough Sunday school room. I said, I don't know what we're going to do, but we've got to build something. And then I said, I'd like to do it by faith. I know we don't have any money at this point. And let me describe at least what's in my own mind or what God I feel has placed in my own heart. I said, we're going to have to set aside so much at the beginning of what God is, what we can probably raise by cash, and then we can borrow the rest of church extension and so on. But let's set a goal. And I said, for me, it's been in my heart that I know that my wife and I can give about 20,000 more. And I want to give this illustration, not for my benefit, but for the Lord, what He can do. We can do 20,000 more than what we already give over and above. But for the number of months, it's been in my head that we should increase it by faith to about 50,000. And then I said, but I haven't told my wife that yet. And one of the guys at the meeting said, before I had it out of my mouth, you better tell your wife. And so now I went home that night. She was still asleep. And I next morning said, well, I told this to the meeting, so I guess I got to tell you what has been on my mind, and I just can't get it out of my head, that I think that we could give 20,000 more than what we're already giving, but I have in my mind 50,000. We'll add the other 30 by faith. And my wife always looked after the bank accountant for the years, always telling me the difficulties we were often in, and I would always say, the Lord will provide. And He always did. And this time she looked at me and she said, Carl, I think we can do better than that. I almost fell off my chair because I knew that didn't come from my wife. I knew that had to come from the Lord through her. I said, then that's what we'll do. And we're going to challenge the people at the church to give by faith. And to watch God do a miracle. You see, when you do it that way, you can't do it by yourself. There's absolutely no way. God has to do a miracle. And He's in the miracle business. And He's still in it today. And then, you know, when it happens, you can't take any credit for it at all. Only God can get all the praise and the glory. And that's really what we want to see happen. And I want to just give you a little illustration on how that happened or took place, at least in my life. You see, by giving by faith, if He doesn't provide it, if He doesn't give it, well, then you don't give it. But if He provides it, then you can give it. And that's the uniqueness of it. God, it's up to you. If you provide it, I hand it on. Well, I live on an acreage and I grow trees on that. I have a little nursery there. And so I know a little about the nursery business. And there was a large nursery in the Fraser Valley that went bankrupt. The largest in the whole area. And they went bankrupt and they're having an auction. And I'm a sucker at auctions, I admit. It's not the best place for me to go. My wife always tells me, sit on your hands. And the auctioneer knows that when you nod your head, that's good enough. You don't need your hands. And so I went to this auction. It was 2 days. It was big. And of course, I was bidding at stuff. I thought it was cheap. And then there, most of the stuff the second day was in a book in the Latin words. I had trouble with English, not alone Latin. I didn't have a clue what they were. And so as they were selling this stuff, I'd listen as bidders would bid from Calgary and Ontario and from the Kootenays and Edmonton. And they were paying $25, $30 for some of these trees that were in the ground. We didn't even see them. We were sitting in a building and you just bought it off this sheet. And so I listened later on. That same Latin name came up and there weren't many there, especially at the end of the sale. So I would bid on that. I bought those same trees for $3.73. And I bought a lot of trees. And by the end of Saturday afternoon, they gave me my bill. And I was sick. I had never done anything like this in my life. I had just spent $35,000. And I had to preach next day. And I was sick. And I thought, what on earth did I do? And we had $1,100 in the bank. But I had a line of credit. So men, don't do this to your wife too often. I had a line of credit at $25,000 at the bank. Hadn't used it for a number of years, but it was still there. And I told my neighbor what I had done. I had bought a few trees for him. He couldn't be there. He said, you know, I'll help you with that, and I'll take some of the trees. I got $10,000. I'll give you that. Man, I said, that's just right. I can borrow the $25,000, and I got $35,000. They won't let you take a plant off the place until it's all paid for. And that Monday morning, my wife had been gone that weekend in the States, and she came back on Monday, and she phoned me on my cell and said, where are you? I said, I'm at the bank. Oh, she said, I just came to town. I'll join you. I thought, oh, no. And so she came in and I was in the office already and she sat down and the lady said to me, how much of the $25,000 do you want? I said, I'll take it all. My wife's head swung over and said, how much did you spend? I said, $35,000. And she sat back down in her chair. And whenever I do something stupid, she always calls our son to tell him. And so she phoned him up and she said, Tim, you won't believe what your dad did. Well, what did he do now, our son said. Because he knows I'm always doing some peculiar stuff from time to time. And she told him. And you know, the Lord is so good and so amazing. And he said to her, Mom, don't worry about it. Dad will triple his money. And I said, thank you, Lord. I hope that's prophetic. And so I started to call nurseries and I called and went on the internet and found nurseries in the States and I just phoned them up. I love to do that kind of stuff anyway and see who's on the other end and see what I can sell them. And I started to sell. Folks, I bought some trees for 50 cents that I sold in the States and for $50, and that's 3 years ago when the dollar was better than it is now. At least their dollar was better. And I think that's not bad on profit. And anyway, my neighbor said to me, Carl, how are you selling those trees? They have those same trees in Chilliwack. They're cutting them down and they're burning them. He's a Christian man too. I said, Lorne, you know how I'm selling those trees. I'm not selling them. It's the Lord that's doing it. And it dawned on me that that's maybe where I'm going to be able to get the increase that I had promised. Lord, if you give it, I'll do it. One day a man called me. He said, do you have 14-foot trees? I said, no, I don't. But I have 11-foot and a little maybe bigger. I said, where do you find 14-foot trees? He said, I found some in Bend, Oregon. I said, Bend, Oregon, what in the world do you pay for that kind of tree? He said, $950 a tree. I said, what? I got some that are 3 foot shorter. I thought, if he's paying $950 a tree, and by the time he gets it here, I figured it out, and the transportation, it would have been close to $1,500 a tree. I thought, I'll double my price. I was asking for $50. I'll say, I'll give them to you for $100.
Come and take a look, he said, at that price I will. And he came and he took a look. He said, I'll even dig them out. I never had to touch them. He bought 10% of my $50,000 right there. I said to him, how on earth did you get my phone number? He said, I phoned all over Oregon. I phoned all over Washington. I was so tired of phoning. I said, I'll call one more and that's it. And I guess I'll have to go for the $950 trees. This person said they want them. And she said to me, where are you phoning from? I said, I'm calling from Vancouver in Canada. And she said to me, why don't you call Carl Keller? He sells big trees to us down here from right up there. And she gave him my phone number. That's not an accident, folks. That's not a coincidence. That's because the Lord is in charge. That's because the Lord makes it happen. And you already know the rest of the story, don't you? You already know that I reached the 50,000. It cost me 20,000 to have guys dig them out. And so I made the 50 on top of that. Now that was 55 already. And then my wife was right. We could do better than that. Why? Because the Lord did it. I didn't do it. He opened doors like I'd never seen him open doors in many ways. In the nursery business. And I'm usually not in the nursery business. I'm in the ministry business. But in the nursery business, I find people that I can talk to about the Lord. And I told one nursery man about the story of what I'm telling you. And when I told him that I spent $35,000, he said, that's grounds for divorce. I said, I know. But it isn't part of our vocabulary in our family, so we're going to carry on. And we're going to see what God did. And he was a Christian from Egypt who is now living in this area. And we talked about the Lord with each other. And what God does, he said, that's absolutely astounding. And then when I sent some materials to Africa, and since he had come from Egypt, I said, would you like to be part of sending a sea container to Tanzania to a hospital, a Lutheran hospital that they built there in the highest witchcraft area of the country? And now we want to furnish it there so that people can come to know Jesus. He said, I'd love to be a part of it too. You see, it's exciting to be able to give. I challenge the people at our congregation to be able to give by faith beyond what you're able to do so you can see God do a miracle in your life. And not only did that, but the director of our building program, every person that was, he would ask in the lumber business or whatever the business that we needed for building in our church, he'd say, could you consider giving a gift to the church as a non-profit organization, and we'll give you a receipt in kind for tax deduction. And when he asked one man who needed at least over 15,000 square foot of drywall, would you consider giving a gift? And he said, well, I guess it's time I do something for the community. He wasn't even a believer. And he gave us $60,000 worth of material. We had so many miracles at the church like that over and over and over again. I'm sorry to say that we quit counting and we quit keeping track of the amazing God that we have, who we knew was doing it all in a way that we couldn't possibly have done it. Folks, he wants to do that in your life. And today you have a wonderful opportunity. Not something that we can do, but something that we in turn are able to do because God first gave it to us. And he first gave us his son, which is so astounding to me, that he would give his son for me and to suffer and die for me. And then to rise again. And he says, and I'm going to have you rise too. And if you believe in me, I'm going to take you to eternity. Can you believe that he would do something like that for each of us? And he says, I'm going to give it to you free. What an incredible promise that he gives us, and what an incredible gift. And now he says, I want to ask you something in return. And he gives it all. Just imagine if I came up to you and I said, here's $100. Keep 90. Give me back 10. Boy, you'd say, that's pretty good, a return. And that's what he says. Everything I've given you belongs to you. It belongs to me. I've given it to you. In fact, I got something the other day from Church Extension, and it says on here, God's stewards are managers, not owners. Can you imagine that God owns and we just manage it? When I met with the other group the other day, or a group over lunch, and I gave them this illustration, which I think is so valid, at least for my life, in knowing that God owns, and it just changes the whole aspect of how we look at things and how we feel about things. I told them the story of when our son was young, and our children were both young at the time, and my wife had to take our son to the doctor. And in the home we lived in at that time, the garage was kind of narrow. And she was thinking she was a little close to one side, so she tried to maneuver the car. And each time she maneuvered it, not knowing quite how to do that, she got closer to the side. And the time was she had to go and take our son to the doctor. So she just backed out, and she just took off some side of the car and some pieces that were there. And when they got out on the street, they got out to look to see what the damage was. And our son looked at it and he said, oh, mommy, what's daddy going to say? And she said, I had to go and take him to the doctor. And when I got home that evening, she said to me, how do you back the car out of the garage? I said, well, you back it out just like you drove it in. She said, it doesn't go that way. It goes sideways. And I backed it out and I took some things off the side. And I went to look at it and I laughed. Why could I laugh? Because that's not my car. That's the Lord's car. I'm just a steward. I'm just managing it for him. And if God wants to use my wife to custom line his car, who am I to say he can't do that? Don't we look at things differently if everything that we have, he has given it to us. And we're just managing it. And today you have the privilege, and I call it a privilege. It's a privilege to be able to give to him in a way that maybe you have never done before. And I want to challenge you to give by faith and see if God will do a miracle. If he doesn't, you don't need to. Give what you can. But he loves to do miracles in people's lives. Let's pray. Oh, gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for what you have done for us, first through Jesus. Beyond what we can even comprehend or even imagine, your goodness to us through his death and resurrection. Oh, Father, thank you that we can be a part of your family, that you've made us sons and daughters of the kingdom. And now we have a wonderful privilege to share with you all that you have given and shared with us. Lord, give us your power, your strength, your wisdom, and the faith that can come from you. In your precious and holy and matchless faith, we pray. Amen.